Okay, we're beginning the discussion of how the Supreme Lord's Sri Vigraha, his transcendental body, belongs to his internal nature, his swarupa. And we're hearing about this from three verses offered in prayer to Krishna, newborn Krishna, by Mother Devaki. She first told him that when the world is destroyed at the end of Brahma's life and the elements go back into the Mahatattva and the Mahatattva goes back into Pradhan, you alone remain and therefore you're called Shesha. And time is your personal endeavor, your own activity. But you're the controller of time. Time does not control you. Okay, now we're in 28.3. Tataiva spashtam punar aha Martyo mityu vyala bitat palayan Lokan sarvan Nirbhayam najagachat twat pada padabjam prapyaya drichayadya swastakshite mityu asmada paiti. Tataiva spashnam punar aha. She makes this explicit by saying further, this is the third verse, a mortal being, fearful of the serpent death, flees to all different worlds, but he cannot find relief from his fear, O original one. But when he obtains your lotus feet, he can rest in comfort, and death leaves him alone. Okay. Comments on this? Lokan prapya nirbhayam, bhayabhavam. Twat padabjam tu prapya ubayatrapyanvayaha. He cannot find freedom from fear, absence of fear, even by obtaining all the worlds. But he does obtain freedom from fear by obtaining your lotus feet. Demons can conquer the worlds, but they can't become free from fear by that conquest. Twat padajam tu prapyeti ubayatrapi anvaya. Atra twat padabjam iti shri vigraham eva tata vispashtam sadita vati. By saying your lotus feet in this verse, the speaker here has clearly delineated the idea of his divine personal form. Poetically, we say obtaining the Lord's lotus feet. What that signifies is obtaining him in his personal feature with his Sri Vigraha, which is respectfully addressed as or referred to as his lotus feet. As a commentary here, as a poetic convention, the Supreme Lord's feet are almost always qualified as lotus feet. Okay, we don't usually just say feet, we say lotus feet. For lack of anything else in worldly experience beautiful enough to compare them to. Like lotus flowers, his feet are soft and tinged with red. But of course, the Lord's devotees have no intention to take just his feet without the rest of him. They only approach his feet first out of respect. Mayavadis might do something like that. Chop off the feet. Okay. Ata eva amita vabuhu iti sahasranama stotri mittam maranam tadrahitam vapur asyet amita vapu iti shankarabhashyepi. Therefore, when the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra mentions the name Amrita Vapur, Shankaracharya, in his commentary, explains it. I was going to add the word even. Api is there. So even Shankaracharya says, even the Mayavadi says this. Even Shankaracharya, in his commentary, explains it is meaning, Mrita means death, and Amrita Vipu means he whose body has no death. In other words, he has an eternal body. That's out of the mouth of Shankaracharya. Adyeti janmabhavopi darshitaha. Moreover, the address, Adya, Devaki calls him Adya, the original one, also shows that he has no birth. If he's the original one, then he can't be born after anybody else. He can't be born.
It says Adya in the first verse.
Well, let's see. I think so.
It's not the right.
Let me find it. In the third verse. Okay, it's there. Martyo. No, the next one? Adya, yeah, there you go. Adya. Grammatically, that could be Adya today, but that idea doesn't fit the statement. So it's Adya, O original one. Sajanmani sarvatra sadayit vasyaiva siddhi. It is an established fact that everything that is born has a beginning. Okay, this period should be a comma. Just let me change this. Okay, everything that's born has a beginning. So he can't be the original one, the one before everything else, if he hasn't a beginning or if he's born. If that was so, even if he's the first entity, but he had a birth and a beginning, then there would have been nothing before him. And we can't accept that there was nothing in the beginning. The Upanishads sometimes say there was Sat and there was Asat, but the Upanishads never say that there was nothing in the beginning. Shunyam Asit. You never hear that. Taduktam. Pradurasit yata prajyam dishindur iva pushkalaha iti. That's a statement there from 10.3.8 about Krishna's birth. The same is also said in the words, he appeared like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. When the full moon arises on the eastern horizon, that's not the birth of the moon. The moon has been around for ages, and every month it becomes full, but it arises on the horizon at sunset. That's not the beginning of the moon, that's just the appearance of the moon. Pradurbhava, Pradurasit. So Krishna, the original eternal, appeared when Devaki gave birth to him. Shruti's chhatra. Sabramana svijati sarudrena vilapayati so anutpatir alaya eva harek parak paramanandaha iti mahopanishadi. And in the Shruti statement of the Maha Upanishad, he creates through Brahma and destroys through Rudra. But Lord Hari himself has no origin and no dissolution. He is the supreme, the supremely blissful. So here Jiva Goswami gives a reference to the Upanishad. He says it's Maha Upanishad. Usually he doesn't bother, he just says Shruti. But this must be a less familiar text. Maha Upanishad itself must be less familiar, so he's telling his readers the actual name of the book, Maha Upanishad. Shri Devaki Devi Shri Bhagavantam. The verses under discussion, those three verses were spoken by Shri Devaki Devi to the personality of Godhead. Commentary. Mother Devaki called her son Adya, O Original One, in the third line of the verse last cited. Because he is the beginning of everything, he has no beginning. As stated at the beginning of the 10th canto chapter containing these prayers, Krishna appeared first, not as a newborn, but fully formed, like the moon rising on the evening of its full phase. Okay, this is all pretty straightforward. The Lord's body is eternal. Okay, I don't know what else to say about that. Move on to the next anuchet, number 29. Tata utpati stiti laya ityari padye yad rupam dhruvam akritam iti. This is a padyam. Yeah, from the fifth canto, 25th chapter. I think that's the glories of Lord Ananta. 25th, next to last chapter of the fifth canto, followed by the chapter about the hells. If I'm right. Okay, there's and the chapter is prose, most of it. And there's one prose statement, padya, that begins, Utpati Stiti Laya. Moreover, in the verse, padya, gadya, gadya is prose. Padya is verse, so this is a verse in that chapter. In the verse beginning, the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. It is said later on in that verse, whose form is permanent and uncreated. Okay. Let's just quickly check. Is that a verse or a prose paragraph? 525.9. Oops, I said 29. There is no 29. 25.9. Yeah, it looks like, yeah. It's a section of, it's from a big verse. Okay, analyzing that. Yad rupam dhruvam akritam. Yasya, well, of whose? Of whose means who? Of whom? Yasya shri sankarshanasya rupam dhruvam anantam akritam chanadi. The form of whom, namely shri sankarshana, is permanent. It doesn't have any end. And it is uncreated. It is without any beginning. Ata eva varsh adipo upasana varnane Bhavenapi tadrupam adikrityoktam. Nayasya maya guna chitta vrittibir. Nirikshato hyan vapidrishtir. Adhyate iti. Therefore, thus, in the narration of how the rulers of the divisions of the earth perform worship, Lord Shiva also says, in reference to the Supreme Lord's form, and this is in chapter 17 of the fifth canto, Lord Shiva says, even though he glances at Maya, Nirikshito, of him who is glancing, even though he glances at Maya, his perception is not at all disturbed by the influence her modes can exert on the activity of the mind. Now, yasya maya guna chitta vrittibir drishtir ajite. His drishti, his power of sight, the Lord Sankarsana's, na ajite, is not affected by the activities of the mind, which are controlled by the modes of the three modes of material nature. Other people have their minds affected by the modes, and therefore their perception becomes distorted. But this doesn't happen to the Supreme Lord. The functions of his mind are never influenced by the modes, and his awareness is never distorted. Commentary. The next to last chapter of the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam tells of the glories of Lord Ananta. The Supreme Lord, in his form of Ananta or Sankarsana, resides both at the bottom of the universe and in the heart of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is his great devotee. So when it is time to destroy the entire universe, he inspires and directs Lord Shiva to do this work. Narada sings about Lord Ananta in the assembly of Brahma. And that is this verse that we partly cited from 525. Here's the whole verse. Utpati stiti laya hetavosya kalpa Satvadya pratiguna yadikshayasam yadrupam dhruvam akritam yadekamatman nana dat katamuha veda tasya vartma. By his glance, yadikshaya, the Supreme Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of the universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. Satvadya, modes of goodness and so on, kalpa, become capable as hetava, causes of utpati, sthiti, and laya, by his glance. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless. Dhruvam and Akritam. And although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. Ekam Atman, Nana Dat. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? Okay. The same Lord Sankarsana is also worshipped by Lord Shiva in Ilavrita Varsha, the Lord's local residence in the earthly region of Jambudvipa. I'm sorry, it's Lord Shiva's residence in the earthly residence of Jambudvipa. But because Sri Shiva knows that his Lord is also pure and free from degradation, even though he becomes involved in the process of universal destruction, therefore he describes in his prayer the Lord's perception remaining undisturbed by the Maya on whom he glances. Finite beings are susceptible to Maya's influences of rajas and tamas, which inevitably result in corruption and destruction, beginning with the simple disturbances of the mind. First, the mind is perturbed by material emotions of lust, envy, and greed. And then there is disruption of the natural functions of the senses, and then follows disease and death. The Supreme Lord's mind, however, is never disturbed, and his body never decays. So if your mind doesn't become disturbed, you'll never get sick. The mind is disturbed, the senses are not engaged properly, then you get sick, and then you die. That's material life. Okay, yattu tatra tadeva rupam adikritya shri shukena. Now Shukadeva has something to say about the same thing. Yavai kala bhagavatas tamasi. In that same 25th chapter, first verse, Shukadeva talks about Samkarsana. In this passage, in regard to the same form, Sri Shukadeva refers to, quote, that partial appearance of the personality of Godhead in the mode of ignorance. Tata bhavani na tai ityadi gadye tamasim murtim ityuktam. And in the prose text beginning, by the maidservants of Bhavani, their Shukadeva refers to, quote, his form in the mode of ignorance. Okay. Now he's calling Sankarsana appearing in the mode of ignorance, or tamasi. He says it twice in the same prose paragraph. Two different paths. Okay. One is verse 9. Okay.
And one is from another chapter.
No, wait. Bhavani Nata. Okay, that's from chapter 17. Anyway, Sankarsana is called Tamasi in two different places, 17 and 25. Tan. Nijamsha Shiva Dwara Tamo Guno Pakara Katwena Gyayam. We should understand this, however, as describing the Supreme Lord's giving support to the mode of ignorance through the agency of his partial expansion, Shiva. Lord Sankarsana is not in the mode of ignorance, but he is the support, he's the foundation of the mode of ignorance. He inspires Lord Shiva to manifest the mode of ignorance. Utpati stiti laya ityadi padyanantaram Sri Shukenaiva Sri Narada Vakyam anuktam Murtim nakpuru kripaya babara satvam sangshudham Sada sat idam vibhati yatra iti. Just after the verse beginning, the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction, which we were reading in the previous paragraph, 29.1, in that, just after that verse, Sri Shukadeva recounts the words of Sri Narada. Out of great compassion for us, he has assumed the absolutely pure form of goodness, in whom all this creation manifests, with all its subtle causes and visible products. Okay. Narada is saying, and Shukadeva is repeating what Narada said, that the Lord assumes a body of pure goodness. That's the same Sankarsana. His body is not composed of goodness and also ignorance. It's one or the other. Tasman nityam eva sarvam bhagavad rupam. Therefore, all the personal forms of the Supreme Lord are eternal. If the body of God was affected by or was in any way a manifestation of tamogun, it would be subject to destruction. Whatever is manifest from tamogun has to be destroyed. Even everything that's manifest in rajogun cannot be permanent. Only the products of sattvagun can be even relatively permanent, can last. And only Vishuddha sattva is eternal. So tamasi cannot mean actually that he is affected by or manifest from tamogun. Cannot mean that. Tata cha padmotara konde tat stutihi anadi nidanadanta vapushe vishwarupine iti. Therefore, okay, this is also stated in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, in the praise offered to him, that must be, the Supreme Lord, whose innumerable bodies have no beginning or end, anadi nidanananta vapushe, whose vapur is anadi, it has no nidana, and is ananta, whose innumerable bodies have no beginning or end, and who assumes as his body the entire creation, Vishwarupine. So the Lord has his Vishwarupa. The universe is the body of the Lord in a sense, but not too literally, because the universe is temporary and the Lord never has a temporary body. Only indirectly is it his body. That is actually explained in certain commentaries to the third canto of the Bhagavatam, that the Vishwarupa, the universal form, actually belongs to Lord Brahma. It's a material body. It's inhabited by a particular jiva, namely Lord Brahma. The original Lord Brahma, before he takes birth on the lotus flower, he takes birth in the stem as the jiva who takes that universal form as his body. And the Supreme Lord is present there as the supersoul. Garbhadakshayi Vishnu is the supersoul of the Virat Rupa. The supersoul, Paramatma, is present in all material bodies. But those bodies are ruled by the jivas, who presume to be their owners. Paramatma is not involved with enjoying material bodies. And they're only his bodies in the sense that they're his energy. But his actual bodies are all eternal and purely spiritual. Okay, commentary. In both of the chapters just cited, Shukadeva Goswami introduced the glories of Lord Sankarsana in his own words. And in both, he referred to this form of the Supreme Lord as tamasi in chapter 17 and in chapter 25 of the fifth canto. Shukadeva, using his own words, calls Sankarsana tamasi. This word means connected with the material mode of ignorance. But for Lord Sankarsana, in this connection can be only indirect, by his generating the deity of tamas, who actually contacts Maya. Sage Narada affirms that Lord Sankarsana's body consists of sattvam vishuddham, perfectly pure transcendental substance. Okay, moving on. Yadatra skanda dao kwachid brahmakam asti tattu tat purananam tamasa kalpakatamayatvat tat tat kalpeshu cha shri bhagavata swamahima avarana dyuktam eva tariti na bhagavat tattva pratipadana param. Shushka Vairagya Shiva Mahimari Tat Paryakatwat. The confusion that may be created in this regard by descriptions in the Skanda and other Puranas. I presume that Skanda and other Puranas are talking about the Lord's body having a beginning or an end. This is due to these Puranas, Skanda and other Puranas, comprising narrations of days of Brahma that are in the mode of ignorance. Tamasa kalpa kata mayatvat, being containing topics of things that happen in tamasic days of Brahma. These Puranas are in the mode of ignorance. And this apparent confusion is also due to the personality of Godhead's hiding his glories during those days. The Supreme Lord allows himself to seem not supreme. He lets Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva seem supreme during the Rajasic and Tamasic days. This is only appropriate, yuktameva, and so these descriptions are not meant to establish the truth about the Supreme Lord, inasmuch as they aim at promoting dry renunciation or the glories of Lord Shiva and so on. These tamasic, rajasic and tamasic Puranic passages have other purposes than revealing the actual glories of the Supreme Lord. The Rajasic and Tamasic readers of these Puranas want to hear something else. So the Puranas give them what they want. Promotion of dry renunciation, if that's what they want. Or the glories of some other god, like Lord Shiva.
Tatas tat paratva bhavan natatra yartartyam eva cha. Tatavidam shivadi pratipadakam shastram cha vaishnavair nagrayam iti skanda eva shanmukam prati shri shivena oktam.
It's a lot of jumping up and going out. What's this? Having to go to the toilet, or is it phone calls, or what? We've lost four devotees so far. Okay.
And because these parts of the Puranas are not dedicated to glorifying the Supreme Lord, they do not correctly represent the reality. Therefore, Vaishnavas should not accept the authority of scriptures that claim the supremacy of Lord Shiva or other gods. And in the Skanda Purana itself, one of these Tamasic Puranas, Lord Shiva tells the following to six-headed Skanda, to Kartikeya, his son. Shiva Shastre Pitad Grayam Vishnu Shastro Payogiyat Iti. Only that much from the Shaivite scriptures should be accepted, which fits the conclusion of the Vaishnava scriptures.
ata eva padmotara kandadau. Tatavida purananam api tamasatvam evoktam. Thus, in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana and elsewhere, such Puranas are said to belong to the mode of ignorance. Okay. Let's see. There's some examples given in the commentary about what happens in these tamasic Puranas. Commentary: some of the Puranas which encourage devotion to Lord Shiva seem to cast doubt on the proposition that the body of Lord Vishnu is eternal and unaffected by the material modes. Somewhere, Lord Vishnu is said to have a certain finite span of life. You'll find that in the Skanda Purana, Nagarakanda, chapter 273. On other occasions, it is said, Lord Vishnu has been cursed to take birth on the earth, cursed by Tulasi Devi to become a stone, in the Skanda Purana, Kartika Mahatmya, chapter 21. Also in the Shiva Purana, Rudra Samhita, Yudhakanda, chapter 41. Or he's cursed by Bhrigu to be born 10 times, as in the Brahmanda Purana, chapter two, part 2, chapter 72. And he's cursed by Narada to become a human being and suffer separation from his wife. Somebody's going to be born as an ape. I'm not sure whether it's Lakshmi is born or he's born, Vishnu is born as an ape. Anyway, it says that in the Shiva Purana, Rudra Samhita, Srishti Kanda, chapter 4. We can look in the Shiva Purana and check what's actually going on there. Also, the sage Dadichi is said to curse Vishnu to defeat at the hands of some demon. In the Shiva Purana, Rudra Samhita, Sati Kanda, chapter 39. The Vidyeshvara Samhita, chapter 7 of the Shiva Purana, describes Lord Shiva blessing Vishnu that he can become equally powerful to himself. These instances of radical changes in the life of Lord Vishnu, including death and rebirth, might very well be understood as due to influences of rajas and tamas on his mind and body. Srila Jiva Goswami, however, is ready to defend his proposition against all this apparent evidence to the contrary. He is going to show that what transpired in these events was not exactly what the Supreme Lord's detractors think. 6 of the 18 major Puranas are meant to appeal to persons under the sway of the mode of ignorance. As the Uttarakhanda of chapter 93 of the Padma Purana describes. But none of the Puranas are completely monolithic in their orientation. Most of them offer at least some acknowledgement of the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. Most Puranas do. And some account of his avatars. Several sections of the huge Skanda Purana, a tamasic Purana, biggest one. Still, several sections of that Purana promote the worship of Lord Vishnu, including the 4 chapters of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Puranas Vaishnava Kanda, Bhagavat Mahatmya in the Skanda Purana. Oh, Hare Krishna. Okay, 1 second. I missed a diacritic mark. Okay, so this is how we have to deal with tamasic Puranas. Things in there are not easy to explain to a regular audience. Prabhupada wanted us to translate and publish all the Puranas, but it will have to be done with very careful commentaries. I just read 3. That was 3. This is 4. Nachaivam tesham puranam apramanyam apatitam Paramatma Sandarbe Darshayishamanena Matsya Purana Vachananusarina Tamasa Rajasa Kalpakata Mayatvam Tesham.
But this does not make these Puranas unreliable sources of factual information. Skanda Puranas and other Tamasic Puranas. Doesn't mean that they're not authoritative. According to a statement of the Matsya Purana, which is going to be presented in the Paramatma Sandarbha, these Puranas contain narrations of events during days of Brahma in the modes of ignorance and passion. Sattvika Kalpakata Mayatvam Tu Vishnu Pratipadakanam Tad Tad Gunamayatvam Iti.
While Puranas promoting the glories of Lord Vishnu contain narrations of events during kalpas, days of Brahma, in the mode of goodness. In this way, the various Puranas belong to different modes. Tat tat kalpa prapya Sri Vishnur eva tatatmanam pratyayata iti. When Sri Vishnu appears in one day of Brahma or another, he shows himself accordingly. And the various Puranas make their presentations in corresponding fashion. So actually, it's not that these other Puranas and the modes of passion and ignorance are making up false stories. Vishnu actually acts like that. When the lower modes are predominant, he lets himself appear as less than supreme and less than perfect. He pretends to not be complete and perfect. And then what happens is described in the corresponding Puranas. But it actually happens, so it's not false. Tasmad yata drishtam eva tat tad vachanam nanya tatvam vahati. Therefore, the statements of each and every Purana should be taken literally. They afford no opportunity for being interpreted otherwise. What happens is as it's actually described in those Puranas. But we have to understand what's behind what happens. That the Lord is pretending to be something other than he actually is, to be less than he is, but that's just his pretending. The account, though, is true. Kintu Sattva Sanjayate Gyanam Iti Brahma Kandas Yeva Sattvika Purananam Sarvodva Gyanam Iti Eva Labhyate Tatcha Sattvika Purana Eva Drishyate Cha Tadapi Paramatma Sandarbe Lekyam. But nonetheless, okay, all the Puranas, including the Rajasic and Tamasic ones, are authoritative. But nonetheless, since, as Krishna says in the Gita, knowledge comes from the mode of goodness, sattvad sanjayate gyanam, therefore the highest kind of knowledge is obtained from Puranas in the mode of goodness, just as it is obtained from the parts of the Vedas which deal with the absolute truth. That's the Upanishads, which deal with Brahma, the absolute truth. So you want the highest Vedic knowledge, you go to the Upanishads. You want the highest knowledge that comes from the mode of goodness, you go to the sattvic Puranas. Rajasic Puranas, Tamasic Puranas are authoritative, but we don't want to read them if our motive is getting the highest realization. The sattvic Puranas themselves teach this fact, that pure devotees want to read the sattvic Puranas, not the Rajasic and Tamasic ones. Sattvic Puranas make this point.
And about this, more will be presented later on in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Commentary: the Paramatma Sandarbha, Anuchet 17, will explain why some Puranas present Lord Shiva as the Supreme Lord, superior even to Lord Vishnu. The Puranas record events of various days of Brahma, some of which are dominated by the lower modes of nature. At such times of the prominence of Rajas and Tamas, Lord Vishnu kindly submits to his servants like Lord Shiva, allowing them to appear superior to him. Anyway, that will be about when we get to the Paramatma Sandarbha Anuchet 17. Why the Puranas show Lord Shiva to be superior. So even though all the Puranas are authoritative, we want to give special attention to the Bhagavatam, where proper focus is given. There's no chance of being misled about the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. In his Raghavartma Chandrika, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that those who want to practice Raghunuga Bhakti that their endeavors will be distracted from their endeavor if they indulge in worshipping the Lord's associates in Dwarka, or performing the complex rituals of Anganyasa, touching the body and chanting different seed mantras, that this is a distraction to Raghunuga Bhakti. It's not beneficial for those who are performing Raghunuga Bhakti to get distracted in this way. But then he says about studying other Puranas than the Bhagavatam, that it's not necessarily detrimental, but it doesn't add much to one's sadhana. It's neutral. It doesn't really hurt you, but it doesn't help you very much to read the other Puranas if you're serious about Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghavartma Chandrika. Maybe. No, but Madhurya Kanami doesn't talk about Raghunuga Bhakti. Maybe I mentioned it. No, it's two separate books. Someone may have translated the two books together, but Raghavartma Chandrika is written as a separate book. Because Raghavartma Chandrika is meant to be read by those who have the adhikar to begin Raghunuga Bhakti. It's not for everybody. Just as the Ujjvala Nilamani is the continuation of Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, but it's not meant for everybody to read. It's the same thing with Raghavartma Chandrika. It's a different book made for a special segment of the audience. Yeah?
And what was the thing that was instrumental for
Raghavartma? Oh, two things. Worshipping the Lord's associates in Dwarka, or meditating on them. And performing these rituals of touching the body and chanting seed mantras before chanting Gayatri or before other worship. If we did that, it would take us... How long could it take to perform Gayatri puja?
1.5 hours.
You spend 1.5 hours to do your Gayatri 3 times a day. But we have other things to do. Actually, those who are performing Vaidhi Bhakti, it's not necessarily the same kind of distraction. This is particularly for those who want to actually engage in Raghunuga Bhakti. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.